Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER First Half 2018 Consolidated Results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, CEO of BPER Banca. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining this conference call today about our first half 2018 results. This is Alessandro Vandelli, CEO, and I'm here with Roberto Ferrari, CFO, Alessandro Simonazzi, Head of Planning and Control, and Gilberto Borghi, Investor Relations Manager. 6 months after the IFRS 9 first-time adoption, I really can't miss the opportunity to highlight some key points and to share with you the big picture concerning our achievements. You all know very well the sound actions we put in place over the past few years to enhance capital, asset quality, and profitability. The goals we achieved in these three areas are, in my view, absolutely positive, and also the first half 2018 results underline the consistency of our strategy. It wasn't easy, but we consider what we have done a good job. The strong capital position, one of the best in class in the Italian banking system, the improvement in asset quality with a strong reduction of the credit risk, and the growth in profitability confirmed also in the second quarter, enable us to be more confident in the future. Now, after 6 months since the first time adoption IFRS 9, it's important to analyze in brief where we are. Please go to the executive summary of the presentation on page 5. I'd like to make some preliminary comments on three key elements. First, starting from asset quality, we show a strong improvement of all credit metrics, as we are going to see later. I'd like to express to all deeper people the satisfaction for this new step ahead in this crucial area. The robustness of our actions is confirmed by the gross NP stock decreases for 8th quarter in a row. Now the gross ratio is 17.4%, far from the 23.5 or 2 years ago. In Q2, we executed our first securitization, Quattro Mori Sardegna, for 0.9 billion euro of bad loans Banco di Sardegna, and we are well on track to finalize the second one by the end of the year for 2 billion of bad loans, mainly of BPER Banca. Despite of the bad loan securitization, and also thanks to the IFRS 9 first time adoption action at the beginning of the year, our coverage is still at the highest level of the Italian banking system. Second element, coming to the capital level, we have a common equity in one ratio fully phased at 11.63%, broadly in line with the Q1 level, despite the turmoil concerning the Italian sovereign risk and the impact of spread widening on securities valuation reserves. Please take into consideration that our CET1 ratio fully phased is clean without any DTA contribution. The CET1 phasing comes at 14.72%, marginally higher than the end of March 2018 and well above the SREP level. How were we able to be supportive on capital? Well, as you know, we saw the portion of our Italian government bonds during Q1, and we increased our securities portfolio tactically in Q2, placing the most part in the amortized cost accounting category, in order to neutralize any negative impact from price volatility. Moreover, we gradually diversified our securities portfolio to our core European debt to partially reduce the correlation with the Italian sovereign risk, Actually, also other factors contributed to sustain our capital, as for example, the LGD series update, the RWA decrease, and internal capital generation in Q2. So at the end, we can say we have managed our capital position very efficiently. The third element is about the profitability. We realize a first half net profit well above 300 million euro, the best first half performance in our history, influenced by the particularly positive trend in commissions, trading, and cost of credit, the latter in strong reduction. Q2 net profit came at 57 million euro, even higher, close to 80 million, net of non-recurring items, including the Single Resolution Fund extraordinary contribution of nearly 9 million and impairments on tangible assets of around 10 million. So after Q1, that benefited of extra contribution of trading, the stream of quarterly results, along with internal capital generation, continued to be pretty good and satisfactory. But the first contributor to the net profit, as we anticipated many times in the past, is the strong decrease of the cost of credit, which came at an annualized level of 36 basis points versus 112 basis points in 2017. This is a confirmation that the FTA intervention is achieving the expected results, along with an improvement of the asset quality metrics, especially the default rate in the first half at 2% annualized, with the expectation to go well below it in the future. After this longer than usual introduction, let's go quickly into the analysis of the first half figures, leaving enough time for the Q&A session at the end of the presentation. On page seven of the presentation, we can appreciate the stability small growth of the total funding year to date at 91 billion euro, which means for us, first, our ability to maintain a trend of growth in the overall funding of the group. Second, our ability to manage correctly the mix of funding sources on direct funding, both retail and institutional. And third, within the different aggregates, we demonstrated the ability to take advantage from the switch in favor of asset under management and bancassurance sector, which now counts for more than 45% of the total. On page eight, we show a breakdown of our direct funding, which comes at 49.9 billion euros the first half 2018. Almost 90% is based on our customer funding and only about 10% on institutional one. Customer funding is broadly stable, close to 45 billion euro versus January 2018, showing a strong increase in current accounts and sight deposits, partially offset by a decrease of time deposit, retail bonds, and CDs. We are still working to decrease certain forms of institutional funding, which are particularly expensive, and at the same time, we are focusing on switching direct funding in favor of indirect one. Bonds are declining only on the retail side, and we are going to issue more covered bond on the wholesale market in the future. Finally, I'd like to highlight the good level of flexibility in managing our group's funding strategy due to the very low wholesale bond maturities in 2018, only 1 billion euro of covered bond in October this year, and no maturities in 2019. On page nine, this is one of the sectors we care most about, and we are doing a very good job. Assets under management stock is broadly stable, close to 20 billion euros, despite the recent financial market turmoil. Bancassurance stock is growing steadily, +2.4% year to date, and now we are not far from 5 billion euro. Despite market stress in Q2, net asset under management flows were pretty strong in the quarter, +300 million euro, while the net inflows in the first half were close to 850 million euro. Moving on to page 10, you see the trend of customer loans. I'd like to remind you that the decline you see between the beginning of the year and Q1 was mainly due to the usual seasonality of the first part of the year, but also to the strategic decision to deleverage the key client sector and to no longer renew non-profitable credit lines. We had also the write-off of interest in arrears for 500 million, impacting only on the gross value. Now, in Q2, we see that the risky trend is continuing, also taking into account the bad loan disposal in June for 0.9 billion euro. We see a gradual return of credit demand, even though it's too early to say if it will be sustainable in the coming quarters, but it can be seen as a positive signal overall. It's important to highlight the growth in the performing book Q-on-Q, and on the contrary, a strong decrease in the NPE stock, on which we are going to enter in details later. The quality of the performing book is improving, as shown by the ratings. The high-risk bucket is coming down quite significantly, reaching 4.3% in the first half of 2018, more than halved in the 5 years. Let's turn to page 11. This is one of the most important slides of this presentation, which we can appreciate asset quality and all the credit metrics improvements. You can see the strong decrease of the gross NPE stock below 9 billion euro, minus 1.7 billion since the beginning of 2018, and minus 1 billion since Q1. So we had the eighth quarter in a row of NPE decline, and now the gross ratio stands at 17.4%, down by 2.5 percentage points from 19.9% of January 2018. The focus here is to confirm the good job we are doing, delivering under our NPE strategy. You all know that we closed our first bad loans GACS securitization, Quattro More Sardegna, last June, for 0.9 billion euro. We consider it a very successful deal. The net NPE ratio now stands at 8.4%, coming down from 9.2% in January 2018. We are now well on track to execute our secondment plan deal for 2 billion euro, mainly on BPER Banca, with the goal to reach NPE gross ratio below 14% at the end of 2018. It's important to say that UTP decreased significantly since January 2018 by 470 million to the level of 5.6% of total loans. Together with a very high coverage at 41.9%, this put us in a very solid position in terms of asset quality. Particularly important is the coverage trend. We strongly increased our coverage after the IFRS 9 first-time adoption at the beginning of the year to one of the highest level in the Italian space. In fact, the NPE coverage is close to 57%. The bad loans coverage is at 64.9%, and unlikely to pay coverage, as I just said, is at 41.9%. Good news also for the Texas ratio, now at 95.5%. Moving on to page 12, NPE flows in the first half have showed a decrease by 7.6% since March 2018, and a 2% default rate analyzed. It's overall a confirmation that the improvement seen over the past few years is now stable. It could improve even further, bringing the default rate below 2% in the future. Good news also from the cure rate at 13.8% annualized, thanks to a very positive action of our credit department in managing the UTP and past due loans markets. Another good news comes from the bad loans recovery rate, now at 6.3 annualized, demonstrating that our servicing platform, BPER Credit Management, is a very efficient machine and it is doing an excellent job and playing an important role within our overall NP strategy. The securities portfolio, please go to page 13, increased in Q2 versus Q1 because we tactically decided to take advantage of Italian spread widening, investing in Italian government bonds and diversifying further the portfolio with Spain and other core Europe financial assets. The downtrend in the Italian government bonds ratio on total assets is still in place, and now the Italian govi stand at 7.9%, down from 10.9% in 2014. The overall exposure to the domestic risk is almost halved versus 2014. Today, only the 44.7% of the securities portfolio is on Italian issuers, both govies and other assets. Italian govies count for 116% of the consolidated equity, but we still have the target to bring it down below 100% in the future. Okay, now we can move on to profit and loss figure on page 15. On this slide, I'd like to highlight only a few things. The most important figure is the very strong net profit in the first half of about 308 million euro. We can really be very satisfied of this achievement. It is explained in particular by the very positive trend in net commission, net profit from financial activities, the strong reduction of the cost of risk, and the low level of taxation. Now, let's go on to page 16. As you know, 2018 figures are not comparable due to the accounting principle change affecting NII through input due to the time value related to bad loans, now included in this item, and UTP interest accounting, and to the different groups perimeter with Carife consolidation in the second half 2017. Core income is 963 million euro, in which the weight of commissions is above 40% and must keep growing quarter after quarter, and we are very committed to do our best in order to grow these sources of revenue. The first half results shows a very positive performance of commissions income, plus 8.3% year on year. And even taking into consideration the contribution of new Carife in 2018, we are anyway well above our guidance of an increase of 4% for the full year. I think on this side, we are getting positive results. On the NII side, the two periods are not comparable, as we said, but we feel a bit of pressure coming from both commercial volume and the financial margins. Now we can move on to slide 17. As largely expected, the strong asset quality improvement and the much better quality of our performing book, as we saw previously, have an impact on the performance of NII. But if we want to have a fair picture of what's happening here, we must look at NII along with a view on cost of risk. It's true that that strong de-risking means lower NII, but it's also true that it means a much lower cost of risk. Broadly speaking, on a pro forma basis, and knowing that there's no a one-on-one correlation between the two items, in light of an NII decrease of a bit more of 40 million euro in the first half, we have a reduction in cost of risk of more than 280 million. Having said this, we don't want to lose grip, and we try to defend our spread and to increase volumes, which is a key point for NII growth in this environment. In Q2, NII declined 4.4 versus Q1. A large part of the decline, 40%, is due to the IFRS 9 impact, around 5 million. Then we have a lower contribution from the securities portfolio and then a slight lower support from the commercial side. Average volume in the quarter were not supporting. We believe that the good performance in the last part of the quarter on commercial volumes will support the NII in the coming quarters. On page 18, going into more details on commissions, we see that the strong growth is supported mainly by the asset management, under management, and bank insurance sector, plus 27.7% year on year, recording also a positive slight increase of traditional fees. Q2 versus Q1 result shows a decline by 3.6%, mainly due to the slowing down of traditional commissions, in particular related to loans and guarantees, and the decrease of the upfront fees for 3.2 million quarter on quarter, affecting asset management in particular in the presence of the high volatility in the financial market caused by the sovereign Italian debt crisis. On the other hand, we are now on page 19. Operating income has been supported by trading income both in the first half, 153 million euro due to the presence of a large portion of realized gains on bond, and Q2, despite the very difficult market condition. Moving forward on page 20, the two half years are not comparable due to the different perimeter followed by the consolidation of Nuova Carife in the second half 2017. Q2 operating costs increased by 8.1% versus Q1, but more than half is explained by a non-recurring increase of depreciation related to tangible assets. Then the quarter shows also higher admin costs due to usual seasonality and the closing of some specific projects which were booked in the quarter, and the increase of the staff cost mainly due to the higher provision related to the variable part of the remuneration and the higher provision for staff untaken vacations. So on a like-for-like basis, the level of operating costs in the two quarters present only limited change. Anyway, we perfectly know that the cost reduction is one of the priority and it will be well executed in the coming business plan. Cost of credit on page 21. Here we continue to have a very important reduction as expected, especially after the IFRS 9 first time adoption intervention in Q1 this year. Loan loss provisions came at 84.9 million or 18 bips in the period, 36 bips analyzed. That on a pro forma basis means 40 million to be compared to the 323 million on the first half 2017. This is the confirmation of the trend we expected last year. The strong improvement of the cost of risk is one of the main contributors to profitability in 2018. I can confirm our still conservative guidelines of around 50-60 basis points for this year. Page 23. Our liquidity position is solid thanks to a strong growth of the total eligible asset by 7.1% year to date to a level above 17 billion euro, along with a good bucket of an encumbered eligible asset of 4.3 billion euro, and that's a liquidity of 2.5 billion euro on top made by deposits with the ECB. Both LCR and NSFR ratios stand above 100%. With reference to the capital position on page 24, we show overall strong capital position with a Common Equity Tier 1 ratio phased in at 14.7% and the large capital buffer of 2.1 billion versus the SREP 2018 requirement of 8.125%. Common Equity Tier 1 ratio fully phased basis is 11.63%, broadly unchanged versus March 2018. Our strategy was aimed to sterilize our regulatory capital from the volatility of financial markets, booking the most volatile and with longer duration assets, that is the government bonds like Italy, in the amortized cost accounting bucket. The exposure of our CET1 ratio to the increase of 100 basis points of the spread is currently very low at around 20 basis points. Let me say that this ratio does not include any use of future DTAs and includes retained earnings and the pro quota dividend. I think that the combination of this capital ratio and the strong coverage put us in a very comfortable and very sound position. Now at the end, let me highlight the key messages. First, delivering on asset quality improvement, showing a much lower NPE ratio and a better credit metric, in particular default rate and cure rate. We confirm all the NPE strategy targets and the aim to be below 14% in the gross NPE ratio by the end of 2018, also thanks to the second bad loan securitization. Second, a very strong capital position, which was very resilient also in a spread widening environment, along with a very high NPE coverage. Third, much better profitability level supported by a strong reduction of the cost of risk, positive trend in commissions, and a low level of taxation. This is the base for the new business plan 2018-2021, which will be presented to the market after the summer. Okay, thank you all for your time and attention. Now we are ready to start the Q&A session and to take your questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Andrea Vercellone with Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening. Two questions on my side. The first one is on net interest income. I just need a clarification on the IFRS 9 component, which, if I'm not mistaken, declined by 6.5 million quarter-on-quarter. I suppose this is due to lower time value reversal. If that is correct, is that already taken into account of the Quattromori securitization, or that is still to come? If that is not correct, if you can explain what triggers it. Then also if you have any guidance on this line for the remainder of the year. The second question is just a detail. I just wanted to know if you had any migration to IRB of Cassa di Risparmio di Bra or Cassa di Risparmio di Saluzzo, or those are still to come. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Andrea, for your questions. About NII and IFRS 9, your estimate is correct. This is the impact coming from the reversal of the time value. There isn't still any impact coming from the securitization Quattromori. About the NII trend, let me say that we expect During the second half of this year, some further limited reduction. Let me say, we think is a healthy reduction because it's due to a better quality and a strong reduction of the bad loans component in our credit portfolio. And we hope to be able to switch a little bit this reduction with some positive component like the maturity of a covered bond in October of 1 billion with the yields at 2.67% and also some contribution for the commercial activities. So this is the view of NII, and I repeat some other limited impact in the second half, but I repeat, this is what we consider a healthy reduction due to a better quality and a lower NPE ratio. About the IRB, we are, let me say, in the first half, there is nothing from the extension of the IRB model to CRR, but we have completed the process with the ECB, so we expect to have a positive impact in the third Q of this year. So we expect something around 13-15 basis points. This is our expectation, and I repeat, in third Q 2018. Nothing for CR Saluto is too early because we have to manage it before the migration of solution in our IT platform, and only after this probably the alignment to the IRB model.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Giovanni Razzoli with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. A couple of questions. The first one, can you share with us what was the, your trading strategy in the second quarter? Because you have reported the very, probably the most brilliant performance in terms of, reduction in the CET1 due to the sovereign spread widening. And you have also guided us for a very low sensitivity, 20 basis points for a 100 basis points of spread increase, which sounds significantly lower than the average of Italian banks. So if you can share with us what are, the supporting forces behind this very brilliant performance. The second question, apart from the rolling of the IRB models of CR BRA, are there any other optimization policies that you can implement on the term of risk-weighted assets to further increase the CET1 by year-end? Another question on the ARCA. Can you share with us whether, by year-end you may submit or you have already submitted a bid on the stake that you are not yet controlling? And if so, what kind of absorption in terms of CET1 can we assume out of it? And the very last one, in terms of cost of risk, the cost of risk of the first half and the guidance for 2018 is very, very good. We are in the middle of the year, so what are your thoughts about the 2019? Is the 50-60 basis points a level that you can project also going forward in light of the structural improvement of your risk profile? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Giovanni, for your questions. I will take the second, the third, the fourth questions, and I will hand over to Roberto on the first one on trading strategy. And yes, we are absolutely positive on managing these items during the first half, and we work so hard to have this kind of situation, and I want to give the floor to Roberto to explain our strategy. About the optimization policy of RWA, I confirm that our expectation is only on CRBRA. We have any other expectation, there is only potentially the discussion that we have in place on the minorities of Banco di Sardegna, but it's too early to say if it's possible to close or not this potential deal and optimization of our capital position. You know that all the minority interest in our capital position is around the presence of a minority of 49% in Banco di Sardegna. About Arca, let me say that we are following very closely the situation of Arca. Let me say that I can't give you any particular element. You know that there is a process, so let me say there is some element of confidentiality, and also to respect the process of liquidation, I think is I can't give you any elements on this. I can only confirm our strong interest on Arca. As you know, we are the first shareholder with 33% of stake, and we are the fourth distributor of Arca fund around more than 10, we are very close to 11 billion euro of Arca. Cost of risk, let me say first of all that we are extremely satisfied because of what we had in mind last year about the cost of risk at the beginning of the year, thanks to our strong action on coverage on one side and the better quality of our credit portfolio performing, our expectation is absolutely positive, and probably now we are below the expectation because, as we said in many occasions, our idea was a 50-60 basis point. So you know that our approach is very prudent. We confirm for this year this level, and we expect to see also next year something around 50-60 basis point. So Roberto, for the first question.
Yes. Hi, Giovanni. Actually, as you probably know, we sold the BTPs in the first quarter, and at the moment only 1.6 billion of BTPs are booked in fair value other comprehensive income, and those BTPs are very short in duration. Other BTPs are booked, and the one we also bought between May and June when the spread widened are booked into amortized cost category. So actually, the variation in price doesn't affect the common equity. At the moment, our sensitivity for 100 basis points widening in spreads, or actually for 100 basis points rising in rates, is around 20 basis points. In terms of optimization, we have a small margin in optimizing our risk-weighted asset in market risk. So in the third quarter, probably we will have a small benefit in terms of lower market risk-weighted asset.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Riccardo Rovere with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to everybody. A couple of questions, if I may. The first one is on the incoming second portfolio to be sold, the 2 billion that you are supposed to perform at BPER Banca. I would imagine that you would like to do that with the support of the GAX. Let's assume that the GAX is not renewed for a second. The net book value at which you mark down this portfolio at the time of IFRS 9 first time adoption, is that amount, let's say, how can I say, compliant with a sale price that would not require GAX, so maybe lower than the 30-35% that we have seen in the most recent transactions? This is the first question. The second question I have is on the first GAX, what is the amount? Is it already completely out of the balance sheet, that transaction? Is there any risk-weighted assets that would need to maybe to be lowered on the senior notes?
Okay. Riccardo, thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, for the second securitization, we are working on the securitization. Let me say that we completed the perimeter of the securitization, and now there are the rating agencies working on our portfolio. So this is the stage we are positive on the process, and we hope to have a clear view, let me say, I hope, by the end of September. Said this, looking at the first securitization, Banco di Sardegna, we saw that the coverage was absolutely in line with the price, let me say, a little bit probably higher than the price. So let me say, at the end, this was a benefit for the mezzanine and junior notes, so there was a real value also in the junior notes and the mezzanine, and for this reason we have a successful deal also in the allocation of the mezzanine and junior. So on the basis of this experience, let me say that we are confident to have a good level of coverage also in the bad loans portfolio selected for the disposal in the coming month. So let me say, obviously, I hope to see the renewal or an extension of the GACS, and I prefer to have GACS, but let me say, I think that the coverage on this portfolio is high enough not to have a negative effect on the price. Different would be the effect on mezzanine and junior note, and you know this is difficult to say at this stage after the tranching by the rating agencies is probably the time when it's possible to say what we can expect in these other activities. Speaking about the first securitization, obviously now we have risk-weighted asset in line with the risk-weighted asset before the securitization. The reason is that we are waiting for the GACS. When we have the GACS, you know that the risk-weighted asset related to the senior note will be zero. So we expect a marginal positive effect on RWA. I don't have any. I think that Roberto said 120 million euro of RWA. This is another little element for supporting our capital position. But as I said, after the guarantee by the government.
Thanks, Mr. Verdun. Just to be 100% sure I understand it correctly from your wording, you're basically saying with regard to the second portfolio that with or without GACS, your capital is not going to be impacted because the coverage ratio is high enough to align the pricing of this, the net book value of this portfolio to the selling price, right?
Yes, this is our estimation for the information that we have now. And let me say that this is what I can say. You know that there are different elements to manage in this kind of transaction. And I repeat, my view is that the price will be in line with our coverage on the balance sheet.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Riccardo.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you. Just a few questions. On the CET1 progression this quarter, was there anything for LGD update? You know, I remember there was something that could have a small positive impact. Second question, on your NP targets, you mentioned, confirmed the targets for the 2018-2020 strategy. I mean, do you see any reason to change them with the new business plan presentation, after the summer? And, my main kind of question here is, you're targeting below 10% only by 2021. you know, I think you look at peers, I think they're trying to get below, 10% as fast as possible, ideally next year. So I was just wondering if you feel any pressure to also get by, get to 10% next year. Third question on cost. I mean, do you have any guidance for the full year for your cost line? You know, even adjusted for the one-off of depreciation, I mean, you know, to be honest, I think you miss estimates by some 3%. So, I was just wondering if there's any front-loading or cost, given that you'll have a new business plan. So if you have any comments there. And finally, going back to capital, I mean, do you have any, can you give any guidance on any potential impact of EBA guidelines or calendar provisioning? That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. On your first question on LGD update, our estimation, the impact of the update is around 1350 basis points. So the benefit was already in the Common Equity One of the first half this year. And so it was what we expect to see, and in this ratio there is this impact. I repeat, there is no impact for the alignment of CRBRA to IB model that we expect to have only in the third quarter. Your second question was about the target of the NP growth ratio. Let me say, first of all, that we are absolutely satisfied for our plan. So because we have in mind this trend, and we want to close the first securitization by the end of the first half 2018, and we were able to complete the securitization. There is another drop in the eighth quarter in a row. So I think that is a very sound process, and I repeat, this is an important message for our people that we are working in the right direction. Second element, the target. We want to go below 10%. This is our idea. I think that is achievable, and we said that this is the target for 2021. But let me say, the first target is to go below 14 by the end of the year. And let me say, when we will be there, below 14%, I think that it's possible to analyze if it's possible to accelerate the achievement of this target below 10. But let me say, step after step. Now, our focus is to complete the second securitization. We are well on track, and now there are the rating agencies analyzing the portfolio, and I repeat, we want to complete by the end of the year. What they can say, that it's possible to see an acceleration in reaching the target of below 10%. Speaking about the cost and the other element, I asked to Alessandro Simonazzi to give you some elements to understand the trend also in the second half 2018.
So thank you. The result at the end of 2018 in terms of cost, if we net the effect of change of perimeter due to Carife and the one-off effect that you have seen in the first half, the level of 2018 could be more or less the same of 2017. So, on like-for-like basis, we expect more or less the same level of the last year.
On your fourth question, Roberto Ferrari, CFO.
It is not very easy to give you guidance on the EBA guideline, so it will be very indicative. What we can say is that the increase will be compensated by the rollout of other legal entities like Saluto, Cerebra, and other legal entities in the group. And from our reckoning, it should be in the region of 801 billion risk-weighted asset increase.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Riccardo Rovere with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking this follow-up. Just wanted to ask you, with regard to Quattro Mori, the 900 million securitization, was this amount completely on the balance sheet, or was it including write-offs?
The 900 million euro was on the balance sheet. So, let me say, was after the write-off. I think the full amount was around 1 billion or something more than 1 billion. So the 900 is what was on the balance sheet.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Was 900 out of, I think, 1.6 billion euro is the total amount of bad loans, Banco di Sardegna, before the securitization.
Okay.
The next question is from Ignacio Cerezo with UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening. A couple of questions. If you can give us some guidance on the tax rate for the second half of the year, second quarter, actually, that you book very low taxes. And the second one is within the 280 million net interest income, if you can give us the total contribution from NPLs, both in terms of UTPs and the time value of money. Thank you.
So, I give you for the first question, our expectation is to have a very low tax rate for the full year. So we expect not significant movement in tax rate, and this our expectation for the year. I don't know for the second, if I understand correctly, and ask to my colleagues to give me a support, is the component of NII coming from bad loans and UTP. I remember there was a strong reduction on this, but probably, Gilberto, if you have the figures, please.
Okay. I'm jumping in. I will summarize it. In the Q2, the time value on the bad loans was 22.5 million, and the UTP was 1.8 million, okay, for a total amount of 20.8 million, okay? Q1, I summarize also Q1 for you, for your convenience, was in time value was 29.1 million, and coming from the UTP was 3.5 million, for a total amount of 25.6 million. Okay, so there's a lower contribution on this kind of items in the Q2 of around 5 million euros versus Q1. Okay?
Thank you. Can I actually follow up on the tax rate? One second, the sort of guidance you can give us to 2019.
On the NII?
No, on the tax rate for 2019.
On the tax rate.
So, well, let me say that what we express also in many meetings, our expectation is to see a very low tax rate for the coming two, three years. This is our expectation. Also because, as you know, we have a potential DTA out of the balance, a significant DTA out. So our expectation is to see a tax rate between 10%-15% for the three years' time. This is our estimate right now.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Andrea Vercellone with Exane. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I've got a follow-up question. Clarification on this new guidance that you gave before on the EBA guidelines. This is a number you hadn't disclosed before, 800 million-1 billion RWA increase. I'm just wondering, will you wait until 2021 to post this, or could you do it sooner? And then, also on capital, now that you have closed the securitization on Banco di Sardegna, and you are probably more advanced on on having an idea on the pricing of the BPER securitization. Do you have any update on the possible increase of RWAs related to procyclicality linked to these securitizations? Thank you.
I'll try to give you an answer about the securitization to give time to Roberto the answer on your fourth question. Let me say, you know, the price for the first securitization was 28.1. This was the price on the first securitization. Let me say that for the composition of the portfolio where we had a large portion of unsecured, we consider this level of price extremely positive for our group. Let me say that probably the portfolio of BPER will have a little bit more secured than the portfolio of Banco di Sardegna. So our expectation is to be in line or a little bit more high price for BPER. About the impact on our capital position, let me say that the effect on LGD, first of all, there is a temporal delay, so our expectation is to see for the securitization Banco di Sardegna and also BPER nothing before the second half 2019, and probably 2020, we are waiting also for the trim exercise, so probably there could be a temporal delay also due for this element. Our estimate, the last estimate was around, if I remember correctly, around 800, 900 million euro of more RWA for this kind of securitization. This is our expectation, and now I hand over to Roberto for your first question.
Yeah, and the EBA guidelines need to be validated. So actually, we don't expect the impact before 2020-2021.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. The first question is on the securitization. We know that there will be some political uncertainty related to the DEF. Do you expect any pressure in terms of pricing on the next securitization? We saw other players selling junior notes at a lower price than expected. So if you can share with us your thoughts on that. And secondly, on costs, if I understood properly, Alessandro said that net of Carife and one-off costs were pretty stable year on year, are expected pretty stable year on year. So I was wondering, where do you see areas for cost optimization, if any? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Christian. About the securitization, first of all, I try to understand where we are today on the process for the extension of GACS, and speaking with some advisors involved in many securitizations in Italy, they are positive on the extension of GACS, is what I can say, speaking with many of them. And obviously, GACS, yes or no, change, and the impact will be different on the price. But as I said before, the starting point for BPER is a very high level of coverage. So we are confident that it's possible to have a price in line with the coverage. Different is the price of junior notes and mezzanine notes. I understand that probably in the last period there are new potential investors in this kind of asset class. So this is extremely important because, you know, in general in this kind of investment there are 20, 30 traditional investors and too wide the number of investors is important to have a better price. Obviously, the president of GACS and also, let me say, the political situation after the summer in autumn will be decisive on this side. So let me say, we are absolutely positive on the price for high level of coverage. There is some question mark on the price of junior notes and mezzanine. Said this, you know, for the securitization of the 5 billion, the amount of mezzanine and junior notes is not so significant, so it is absolutely manageable in the second half of this year, so we are no worry about on this item.
And the process should be completed by, let's say, November?
Well, our target is to close the securitization by the end of November. So probably the marketing of the mezzanine junior loan will start before, I think, in October, and our expectation is to close the process during November. About the cost, we are working on this for the new business plan. I think that there are many areas of potential reduction of the cost base of the group. Let me remember only a few points. First of all, there is the potential rationalization of our network of branches, and this is would be an important element of the new business plan. So we have a clear idea of the number of branches, and I think that is one of the important piece of this potential reduction of cost. On the other side, there is also the staff cost. We think that we have room to reduce the cost, so we are working also on this important element. Third, I think that we have room also to have a reduction of cost for further simplification of our group, simplification in number of legal entities, simplification on processes, and so on. So I think thinking about the three elements, but there are many other, I think that the potential reduction of cost will be important. Let me say that we expect to see a reduction of our cost-income ratio, even if also today the position of BPER looking at the other banks in Italy is in a good position, but I think that is important to have an improvement in cost income is one of the important targets of our business plan. I repeat, we see important room for many action in this area.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Sorry, it was already answered. Sorry for that.
Okay, so from my side, no closing remarks. Just thank you very much for the attention and have a good evening and see you soon. Bye-bye.